people who are willing to listen to their connection to themselves, to nature, to a deeper wisdom, instead of thinking that I know it all. If we can cut that sort of relationship to thinking we know it all, that's where we learn the most.
What's up, guys? I've got to tell you, you made a good decision by listening to this show. Mike, my guest today, who I know some of you fellas know and some of you don't, But man, he shared some incredible wisdom. So you're really going to enjoy this. And guys, I'm going to get to his intro here in just a second. And I'm also going to do a little bit of a riff where I'm just going to talk a little bit about what's happening this week, what's happening in Front Row Dads. I'm not reading from a script. I might ramble a little bit. So if you don't want to hear any of this, just skip ahead to the interview because you're going to get a lot from Mike and this show. And let me tell you a little bit about him before we get going here, before I say anything else. So my buddy, Mike McCarthy, is an amazing entrepreneur. He is a speaker. He is the author of The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families that he wrote with his wife, Lindsay. He is the founder of a family mastermind group called Fambundance. And he also is CEO of a group called GoBundance. This is a guy who I've witnessed, who I have been inspired by for a number of years now, because of what he's balancing, the things that he's doing. You know, alone, all by itself, by the way, I should tell you, he's a regional owner of Keller Williams Greater PA. They've got 50 offices, 8,500 agents. They closed over 52,000 units last year for a total of $2.8 billion in revenue. That would be enough, but it just seems like he's got his hands in several other things. And what you'll notice is he's not only accomplished as an investor and a businessman, but he's one of the best dads and husbands that I know. And I've stayed at his home. I've spent time with his family. We have traveled together. And I've got to tell you, he is an impressive guy. I also want to mention as part of his qualifications that he is a LEAF certified appreciative inquiry facilitator with our good buddy, John Berghoff, where he designs and delivers high level group collaborations and high stakes scenarios. So why I tell you all that is because first of all, he's got vast experience, and also that he is truly a leader who's not just talking about how to lead in his family and a business, but he has succeeded in several different industries in several different ways. And I just find him an impressive person. He's also, why not throw this in there, a certified spirit coach where he teaches individuals to use their energies to tap into intuition and discover their true authentic power. So here's a guy who is very practical, very strategic, very analytical, very successful in business, and yet has found a way to bring this spiritual side to his conversations. You're going to sense that today. There's great wisdom on both sides of that equation, which I think is really powerful. Other fun stuff, owns a brewery in Florida. He's got different investments, ventures, vacation homes, multifamily units, all sorts of stuff. Travels a ton with his family, does all these crazy bucket list adventures, skied over 45 days this year, and also, most impressive, was home almost every day with his wife and his two kids. He's a guy that believes in living a balanced life. And as they say in GoBundance, also dedicated to grabbing life big. So guys, you're in for a real treat. This is an amazing show. We have a really cool conversation around not just showing up, but the importance of truly being in the moment with our kids. And what does that mean? You know, it's easy to just play to those with words, but we really got into it deep today. And to what does that look like in a practical sense where you could go and apply this immediately when you stop listening to this podcast with your family? It's really good. All right, here comes the riff. Here comes just random stuff going on in Front Row. And I'm sharing this because I want you guys to know what's happening. So first of all, I want to thank those of you for supporting this podcast. You know, just saw another review come in. The title says it's by Strategy Addict. I think I know who that is, but I'm not 100% sure. The heading is, I can't express how wonderful this podcast is. Says the podcast provides support, encouragement, and community that I've needed to bring out my best as a husband and father. Guests are relatable and full of wisdom. John's positive, insightful, and inspirational. And this will get you pumped to be an awesome family leader. Oh, and your wife will love you for it. So Strategy Addict, thanks, brother. Appreciate that. And if you guys want to leave a review, means the world to us. Really does make a difference to the show. Go to frontrowdads.com/review, and that'll pop up the iTunes section where you can just give it a rating. Write a sentence, write a word. It's easy. It takes a couple of seconds, but means the world to us. And I'd like to try to recognize you for that if I can. What else is going on? The community. Guys, if you want to have a conversation, if you are active on Facebook, you want a place where you can ask questions and you can provide insights, lessons that you've learned, perhaps resources you found, books, videos, all that stuff, and you want to connect with other, what I'm calling high-performing entrepreneurial type guys, then this is a group that you'd be interested in joining. We have over 450 members, and this is growing each and every day. Very excited to see not only guys finding us by way of the podcast, but also you guys are inviting your friends. I want to give a special shout out to one of our Front Row Dad members, whose name is Kelly Gilson, who has invited a number of guys into the group. And thanks, Kelly, for doing that. Because, hey, it's not only cool to have all these conversations with other guys from all over the world, but it's cool when you invite your friends in that you can then say to your buddy when you're hanging out on Friday night, hey, did you see that post from that guy? Have you tried that strategy? Have you used that? Because it creates some shared vocabulary and conversation, which I think is really, really cool. So guys, I also want to share that everything that's in that group, it's a closed group. So if you post something, you can't share it outside the group. And I just want to tell you that we really take that confidentiality seriously. So I want you to feel like you can share in that group where the other men that are there, we have this understanding that there's privacy here, that we can get a little vulnerable or a lot vulnerable, and that we can open up and talk about things that are really important. Because there's a lot of us, I've done this, I see other guys do it, where we're posturing, we're pretending like everything's great. And listen, I understand we don't want to air our dirty laundry everywhere. We don't need to tell everybody what's horrible about our lives. We're not people that like to complain. We're not people that like to badmouth other people to other people that were in communities. Like, you don't want to talk about how bad your wife is in the community because you're out of respect. And I understand there's real nuances to having this conversation, but we need to find a place to be able to have some deeper level of conversation. We don't have to go to the deepest level immediately and publicly in this community, but guys, we can open up a little bit. We can ask the deep questions, because if you've got the question, chances are somebody else does as well. But I just want to let you know that the strategy there is to find a place where you can ask for help and share your wisdom. And I don't want you to be confident in being able to do that. Listen, I don't want you to live your life on Facebook. I think we can overdo it on Facebook. I think you can get sucked in and travel down that rabbit hole and find yourself looking at ridiculous things, trying to be engaged in every single piece of it. But that's not the point. The point is, schedule 20 minutes in your Friday calendar and jump into the community. Read through the posts. Acknowledge a few brothers, give some insights, give some, you know, a couple of high fives, if you will, to people that are sharing things of value, and give yourself just 10 minutes a week, if that, to pop in there and just spend some time skimming through and seeing what's in there that could impact your family and what could you share that would impact others. That's it. It's my rant about the Facebook group. You can get there by going to frontroadads.com/Facebook. And also, guys, I'm sending out a weekly insights newsletter, an email every week where I'm sharing usually a photograph from my week, something I'm learning, a book I'm reading, a discovery I made, whatever it might be. And I'm just trying to share a couple of sentences, original content every week that I'm writing and sharing with you guys. If you want to get that, just go put your name and email in at frontrowdads.com. Guys, that's it. I think that's my big rant. I think that's my big riff. The kids are back in school this week. As I record this, I realize that it's coming out a little bit later, but yeah, Tiger's 9 and went to fourth grade at a school here in Austin, which I'm really fired up about. And Ocean went back to school today, which I'm really excited about. So I'm pumped for the change. I'm excited for these boys to be around great mentors. I'm excited for the schools they're a part of. We've really been intentional about that. I'm very involved and engaged in their education. And guys, I'm really pumped to continue the educational conversation with you too inside the Facebook group. So many things to talk about: marriage and finances and productivity and balancing all of it and all that stuff, health, education. We got to talk about it all. And hopefully we can just keep finding ways to have those meaningful conversations. All right, gents, let's get into the show. I already told you who Mike McCarthy is. You guys are going to love this episode. Let me know what you think. Share your insights from this show in the Facebook group. And also, I should mention that we've done this a couple of times before. For the first person who is US-based, because I can't ship these internationally, who writes a review, screenshots it, sends me an email with something that you valued from this show on writing an iTunes review, I'll send you a copy of Mike's book, The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families. Oh, and what's funny is, as I record this, the minute I push stop, I'm heading off to Hal's house, who is the original author of The Miracle Morning. So I'll be able to hang out with Hal. He's a Front Row Dad. And we're going to be chilling tonight, celebrating his son's birthday. All right, guys, that's it. That's my off-the-cuff rant. And I wish you guys a great day and a great week. And I'm grateful that you're part of the Front Row Dads. See ya. Mike, this is how we talk these days. We're like, hey, let's get some time. Why don't we jump on a podcast and chit-chat it up?
Yeah, let's make it really count. in our conversation by recording a podcast.
That's right. It puts a positive pressure on saying something of value. So please don't waste my time, Mike. Every word I need to be gold.
I'm going to get at least 8 out of 10 things right, as I do in life with everything.
Let's start with something fun and light and cool. And I haven't asked you this yet, so this is going to be new for me. You're coming off of a festival, right? I know you went to see some shows in Denver recently. So what was that like? What were you seeing?
Yeah, so my wife and I celebrated our 12th anniversary of marriage. So that's really amazing. I'm super blessed to have an incredible wife and a great partner. And we're big music fans. We love live music. And three of our favorite artists out of like the top five are Michael Franti, Jack Johnson, and Jason Mraz. And it just so happened that those three artists were playing three nights in a row in Colorado. So the first two were in Aspen at the Jazz Fest. So we spent the weekend at the Jazz Fest seeing Franti one night and Jack Johnson the next, which was epic. And then on the last night or the third night, we drove down to Red Rocks and got to see Jason Mraz, who's our by far favorite to see right now, and was the second time I saw him because I saw him earlier this year with you. But it was super special and just a really awesome weekend for my wife and I to celebrate.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. And we were joking earlier, there's a really fun picture of you enjoying the moment.
That made the paper, by the way. So I must have been having a really good time.
Dude, I think that was just so fun. It's so fun watching you enjoy life. And dude, you're out there and you're going after it. I want to start off by, I'm going to tell you something that I would tell you when we're not recording a podcast, but I'm also glad that all the Front Row dads get a chance to hear this, which is, dude, I've been so impressed with you and how you've lived your life in the time that I've been witness to it. So for several years now, I've had this opportunity to kind of watch how you do things, how you run your epic businesses and your awesome family, and then how you're creating these communities, which I want to talk about today. You know, I want to talk about what you've done with GoBundance and FamBundance and your KW team and the TMM book that we'll talk about. You know, there's just so many things that you're creating. And I realize this is supposed to be an interview where I'm asking you the questions and not just telling you all the things I love about you. But
no, I like this style. Keep
you like the style of interview. But what I also want to tell you, all right, for context, for everybody, I got to set this up just with a little bit of context. We're at this event. It's in Ohio. It's the Front Row Family Summit. It's part personal growth, how to live life in the front row yourself, and then how to help others do the same. So it's part contribution or board meeting, as we say, you know, designing the future of the Front Row Foundation. And you've been really generous to the charity. And what's really cool is that I watched you participate in that event. Although you could be leading that event, easily leading that event, you were one of the most, if not the most engaged persons in the room, taking notes, you know, participating at such a high level that I remember pulling our good buddy John Berghoff aside. And I remember saying, and Johnny's the leader of this, and some of you in our community know that name and others will get to know that name. But it's like, I remember pulling him aside and saying, I'm so impressed by Mike in the way that he shows up to things. And listen, I know you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're all doing our best. We're all having off days and off moments, but you have so many moments where you're on. And so many moments where you're learning deeply and then giving and contributing along the way with what you're saying and what you're adding, both in energy and in words. I mean, I just wanted to tell you that. I would have told you that off air, but now I just get a chance to tell the world how I feel about Mike McCarthy. And I'm just so impressed by you, man. And it's really fun. I really feel honored to have you as a friend and have you as part of my tribe. And like, you lift me up. You challenge me and elevate the way I play life. And as you say, you helped me grab life big. So thank you. I love you. And I'm so excited for people to get to know you today.
Man, thank you. I have so much respect for you. And the cool thing about that is when someone you respect shares gratitude or respect back to you, it just builds each other up. And I could say all of those amazing things about you too, but we'll wait till you're on my podcast.
There we go. Well, let's talk about some of this stuff that you've been building, and let's talk about your family and how you integrate it all together, because it's quite a bit. So let's create a little bit of a storyline for those people who are just getting to know you. And let's start with kind of where this began. I want to go to kind of where your business began, but actually in spirit of the show, let's talk about your family first. So tell us a little bit about McCarthy's, and then let's get into how you've built this life because it all ties together. You've done a really good job of integrating it all. So let's start with your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Great place to start. So, you know, I've my wife, Lindsay, who I mentioned before, and then my son, Tyler, who's 9, and then my daughter, Ember, who's 5. And, you know, just for context, we spend half of the year, summer and winter, in Silverthorne, Colorado, in the mountains near Breckenridge, a beautiful place to live. And then the other half of the year, we get a total change of scenery, but also a beautiful place to live in Westchester, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. And, you know, I'm in business with my dad. He's now retired, but my entry into business was at a very young age with my dad kind of sitting me down and saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? And actually doing an exercise with me where we went through like, what do different professions make and what do mortgages cost and, you know, what a homes cost, and just kind of getting it in my mind that, you know, going into business in some way was probably the best thing for me to do. And so, you know, started with my dad in Keller Williams and ended up growing a region, the greater Pennsylvania region, and learning how to sell franchises, which I did for really the last 20 years. And it's been an incredible journey sort of learning from Keller Williams, which is just an awesome organization. In fact, you know, my desire to bring families into mastermind groups and to create a mastermind group for families really originated from Keller Williams being a company that has a published value statement of God, family, and then business, and doing it in that order so that you get priorities right, made it, you know, really clear to me that, you know, the only way to really win in business was to make sure your family is a part of it. And my dad did a great job of that. And someday maybe my son and daughter will want to join me in business. And I don't know what that'll look like, you know, 10 years down the road. But, you know, my main job title, the easiest way to explain what I do, is entrepreneur. And you mentioned creating things. I think that's what, you know, entrepreneurs do, is they make the world better through the things that they create. They see a need, a void, and they go and fill it. So it's been fun, man.
What do you think your dad did that was good when it comes to involving his son in business? Because I could see that going sideways. I could see that not working out, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure it wasn't perfect all along the way, but what are the things he did that you go, man, that was a good way of involving me?
Well, I think number one is, you know, when you're, you know, kind of a dipshit teenager kid, you think you know everything. It's challenging as you get older, and a beautiful thing to realize that you really don't know as much as you think you know. And that's when you really begin to learn.
Yeah.
I think that's a great lesson for anybody learning anything. And, you know, I think what my dad did really well is give me a lot of space to, a lot of direction, but also, you know, a lot of space to have to figure things out on my own. I think that, you know, some early things, you know, my dad taught me that have stuck with me is, you know, don't put off till tomorrow what you can get done today. Mm. And, you know, the level of work ethic that he brings to everything is awesome. And he knows how to relax and take time off. And, you know, he worked very hard. Both him and my mom did. They were full-time, you know, salaried employees. My dad was a manager of real estate offices when I was younger. And we didn't start to own businesses until Keller Williams came along. So, you know, in many ways, my dad and I started to learn about wealth building together because we were building these Keller Williams businesses that, you know, started to produce, you know, a lot of return and capital. And we then became real estate investors in addition to Keller Williams business owners. And we've since begun to invest in many other companies. We own 10% of a company called Growlerworks, which makes an awesome product for keeping beer fresh that you get in a growler. But, you know, we own a brewery in Port Orange, Florida, and vacation rentals and things. But, you know, the one thing that I'm most proud of isn't the assets that my dad have been able to acquire together. It's how our relationship has grown because we've started to learn those things together, because we had success together. You know, you can't you can't replace the experience of having business success with your father or with someone you love or with anybody really. Once you've experienced that success that comes in business or in anything with someone else, you're bonded through that experience. So I think my dad and I, I mentioned kind of jokingly just being, you know, young and dumb. You know, I was not a good teenager. Like, you know, you talked about, getting some things in alignment in my life today, I think comes from experiencing a lot of disalignment early on and right. not necessarily feeling comfortable in my own skin, not knowing who I was, not feeling that confident. And then covering all of that up by acting like I was hard and knew everything and, you know, had all the answers. And that's a pretty lonely place to exist. And I did for a long time. But, you know, my dad and I, because he gave me the space to go be who I was, you know, he didn't like the way I was leading the businesses all the time. He didn't like who I was being even as a human being all the time, but he was patient enough to know that, you know, maybe by 40, I would get some of this shit figured out. Yeah. So, and now I feel like I still have a lot of work to do, but you know, this opportunity to be in business with my father helped me to grow immensely. And, you know, I think at some point too, he was kind of like, I need to just let you, get your ass handed to you a little bit. And sure. He just kind of, you know, let me do my thing. And that would be a tough thing for any parent to do at any stage, right? You know, this is the Front Row Dads podcast. So, you know, how do you sit by and watch your kids fail knowing that it's hard to watch and the best thing for them all at the same time?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's really good for us to think about because Front Row Dad to me, in my definition, means engaged, means present, but it doesn't mean that you have to be over involved person on the sideline shouting out every move and correcting every situation. A lot of times it's just being present to witness, you know, so much of it is that just watching and letting somebody struggle. I believe that's part of it. And that's a tough thing to know. When do you step in and when do you just let them fight? We've had a lot of conversations about that on the show. I can think back to several examples. Even some good articulations of that. Joey Coleman was talking about how he has to do this evaluation of is it Band-Aids or stitches? Right? Because at a certain age, I'm evaluating, is this Band-Aid or stitches? And then he's going, is it stitches or plaster? And then is it plaster or casket? And he's like talking about how he evaluates whether or not he gets involved. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I think oftentimes we, you know, if with everything, we make it more serious than it generally is. It's not, you know, it's not often that we, in this society, you know, we're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And then we're like, oh man, his arm was chopped off or something. Yeah. You know, it's like, we usually underestimate how serious something or overestimate how serious something is.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I was watching something recently about, maybe it was in, might have been Japan, where they have these play areas and the kids have access to real hammers and nails and, you know, things like that. I remember, in fact, there's some story with you and Ty, like with a hammer, like he was really young and he was in the garage and he was like, had a real, like, right? What's your philosophy on kids using real tools and letting them take on responsibility, right?
Yeah, I mean, my story, the one you're thinking of is that we came home one time and Tyler was in the backyard with a hatchet and he was 5 years old, 4 years old. And he was chopping down our tree, our biggest tree in the backyard, right? And by the way, the babysitter was watching him do this.
And very high risk tolerance.
Oh my God. And I was like, I just went down there. I'm like, what's going on? And as soon as she saw me ask what's going on, she realized that like this probably wasn't allowed. And so I looked at her and she goes, oh, well, he told me that he's able to do this and he could do it anytime he wanted. And other than, like, I realized at that moment that Tyler had totally duped her and that in that moment she realized that, you know, like a five-year-old or four-year-old had gotten the best of her for a minute. Oh, but I think you got to let them, you know, use it. I think there has to be some, it's a good opportunity to create some structures around what are the right ways to use things. So yeah, I think, you know, I think like you have to get ahead of those conversations because they're going to go try to use things before you give them the instructions.
Yes.
So I think as fathers, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, we probably ought to set some things like, I'm not the guy that's going to show them how to use a hammer, but I can at least, you know, lay out like, hey, don't use the hammer unless, you know, you get some help from mom or dad, or, yep, you know, if you want to use the hammer, come and get our help. And then at least we can make sure you get some of the basics right, like not smashing his thumb.
I think it's actually one of the benefits of being part of a brotherhood of any type. You can create some type of generalization, like when is it okay for a young boy to get his first pocket knife? Or when is it okay for kids to start using these maybe more dangerous tools or doing more dangerous activities? And dangerous probably isn't the right word, but higher risk if not taught properly. I remember when Tiger went to go to Fire Scouts, which is a local thing here in Austin, run by some amazing guys, Mike and Braden. And Braden, who you know, is at our Front Row Family Summit. And he came home and he had a pocket knife. And I was like, oh, and my gut reaction was, you're way too young for a pocket knife. And then I realized that's just me and my limiting beliefs. Like, he's actually at a great age to have a pocket knife, taught properly. It's actually been a great thing for him. But I would have been a little late to that party. But now that I've got this brotherhood and these men and these other guys who can help me to understand, who might have more experience with when is that an okay time to teach somebody how to carve a piece of wood with a pocket knife? Hey, you're able to. You could build a fire right now. Like, Tiger's quite capable. And I'm really grateful for these other men who've helped me to understand that he's far more capable than I give him credit for a lot of time.
Yeah, you know, you reminded me with the pocket knife of the deal that I ended up making with Tyler, is that he wanted to get like a samurai sword, right? Like, of course, right out of the gate, he's like, I got to have a samurai sword.
Sounds like me as a kid.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, you know, let's start small, buddy. So I got him a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I just let him have it. And then like a few days later, I'm like, where's your Swiss Army knife? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, let's go, let's find it. Where did it go? So he's looking everywhere. We never find the Swiss Army knife. So like a month or two later, we're at REI and he sees like they have, you know, Swiss Army knives again over there or whatever. And he's like, Dad, I want a new Swiss Army knife. And then he sees a bigger knife. He's like, no, never mind. Not the Swiss Army knife, like this bigger one. And he grabs like this machete thing. And I'm like, buddy, remember we got to start out small. But that's when I realized like, I can just set up a system for him to earn a samurai sword or a machete, right?
Yeah.
Because it's about, are you responsible enough to have such a tool or a weapon?
Yeah.
And so we made a deal where if he kept his Swiss Army knife for a certain amount of time and didn't lose it, I would get him the next level up.
Yeah.
So it was based on, you know, could he be responsible enough to know where it was, keep it in its place?
Yeah.
And if he was, then we would level him up. So he actually got the Swiss Army knife and then he leveled up like a few months later and we got him a Leatherman that had like all these other tools on it that he loved.
That's cool.
So he's not at the samurai sword yet, but you know.
Dude, on the topic, I know one day. That was me, by the way. I was probably 10. I was in karate. I was watching a lot of karate movies. And I remember sitting down with my dad. And I had this karate magazine and I'm like, can I get a throwing star? And he's like, well, that's probably like next year. And I'm like, how old before I can get this? And it was like, you know, it was claws, these ninja claws and how old? And I just went through, I remember going through the magazine and pointing at all these weapons and asking how old I needed to be and writing the age down next to each one.
I remember doing that same exact thing and Tyler did it to me too.
So. Yeah, it's funny. Hey, just thinking about lessons as a dad in general, like take the last year of your life. What have you learned about being a better father in the last year?
You know, it's interesting. Like it's the same, like the response would be the same thing if you asked me, like, what have I learned about being a better person too? So it's like, there's so much related to being the best father I can be is really about, you know, accessing the best version of myself. And that person that we already are is already an amazing father.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting out of our own way. So, you know, the biggest thing that I've been working on, John, is I'm working on like really staying in the moment. So, like I find myself in present moments because I seek them out. But what happens is I usually move on from them too quickly. And I do this in parenting probably more than any other place. And I'll give you like a perfect example that came full circle for me recently is I was, at the skate park with Tyler, and I'm trying to do this thing now where I stay. So as soon as my ego starts saying, oh, you should go. Like, let's move on. And I'm a pretty impatient person. I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs can probably relate to that. But what I realize is that like my ego or the little voice in my head is always trying to move me on to the next thing, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to really stay until what I think is like energy or my spirit moves me on, which is like, you always know when it's time to leave, like everyone else leaves, right? That's your first indication that you should consider, you know, start leaving. But I'm always usually the first one that wants to leave or get everyone to leave.
Yep.
Or move on to the next thing. And so I realized this is like, it's not a healthy thing for me at all. And it's really not a healthy thing for me as a parent. So I've been trying to stay more. So the other day I'm at the skate park with Tyler and, we're skating around and I'm like, I'm hungry. I'm a little tired. It's been about an hour. It's hot out. And I'm like, hey buddy, you know, we should get going. He's like, no, I don't want to go. And then I realize I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm like, I'm going to stay till he wants to leave. Right. Mm. And I'm just going to see what happens
later.
Yeah, I know. It's a big risk. Literally. I'm thinking to myself, like we could be here forever. I'm like, oh, but I didn't tell him that.
Luckily, sure, sure.
Just like, let's just see what he says
yep.
when he's ready to go. And then I'm like, now that I'm staying, like, let's do something fun. So I go to grab this metal cone thing that he jumps over out of the pipe. And I set it up. I'm like, buddy, you want to jump this? And right away, my ego, John, starts going, you need to leave. It's time to go. He's going to get hurt. And you pulled this thing out. And now he's going to get even more hurt. And it's time to go. You need to go. You need to go. You need to go. And I stopped literally in my tracks. And I was like, I stopped the voice too. And I was like, wow, I am really persuasive. Mm. And I just had this like realization that one of my greatest challenges is that every strength you have, your ego has the ability to co-opt and use against you. Mm-hmm. Like if you're really persuasive, like your ego is going to find a way to convince you. Yeah. So in that moment, I'm like, I'm not going to listen to that. It's just ego, whatever. I'm just going to stay. And then Tyler comes ripping down and I'm like, what's going to happen? And he just airs the biggest air I've seen him right over the thing, lands and rides off.
Whoa.
And I'm like, holy shit. Like yeah. I literally had that moment where I'm like, what he is capable of and what I think he's capable of. And like the way my ego was trying to make me think like if I didn't leave, he might get hurt or it would yeah. be my fault. And so I just silenced it all, stayed. The very next run, he goes, I'm going to do a nose grab next time. And I was like, whoa, you think you can do a nose grab? That's aggressive. I was like almost talking him out of it, kind of like your rock climbing story, yeah. right? And he goes, Dad, you underestimate me. And I was like, what?
You're like, no, that's Mr. Vroman.
Yeah, I'm like, no. My mentor is John Vroman. We need to blame him. So anyways, he goes down, he comes down, he airs over it again, but I film it. And he goes, see, Dad, I could do it. I didn't even see the nose grab.
Yeah.
I had to look at the tape, slow it down. And there, sure enough, there he is doing the nose grab over the cone thing on his skateboard, lands it. And I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Like I couldn't even see it because I didn't even believe it. I had to get videotape and slow it down and be like, holy shit, he just did a nose grab over this cone thing. So it's crazy just to think about. For me, it's how can I just stay in the moment, not get in the moment? Mm. How do I stay in the moment until I moved on to the next moment? And then I can just stay in that moment. Mm. And for me, that's a real challenge. It has been. And but I'm always very aware of that because when you're impatient, you're always waiting on people. You're always like trying to move things along. It's just not a productive place to be waiting on people or trying to move people on before it's sort of time. So that's the number one thing that I'm really working on. And I'll tell you the ending of this story, which is pretty funny. The next week I'm at the skate park and I'm having fun and Tyler's like, let's go. And I'm like, oh, let's stay for one more thing. And I drop in and I fall right on my back. So So listen to this. It gets better. It gets better. Okay. So I'm like, damn, my back is hurt. I need to be more careful. Da, da, da. Tyler's like, Dad, come on, let's go. And I'm like, hang on, buddy. I just fell on my ass. I can't leave like having the ramp conquer me like that. Like, this is bullshit. And I'm like, okay, last time I fell back, what did I do wrong? I'm getting my adjustments all right. I go, I drop in. This time I'm about to make it, but I fall forward and land right on my front hip. Dude, I got to just send you a text of the bruise that I have on my hip. But it's just so funny how, like, on the other side of that story is the exact instance where I'm not willing to move on because my ego wants me to stay in it, right?
Yeah.
So the lesson in all of this, just to bring it to some kind of like teachable lesson, is that, you know, we never really know from our ego's perspective, our conscious perspective, that what we're being told is truth. Like, we have to be questioning the little voice and really going into our deeper wisdom and intuition. And that comes through meditation and deep breathing and pausing and slowing down, like Brother James sings about. And it's in those places where we can really be in the moment, stay in the moment, create more amazing, you know, experiences. But, you know, I'm one who usually is, I'm realizing now, moves on too quickly before a great experience was about to emerge for me. And in parenting, that's probably more true than anywhere, because what kids want is for us to stay in the present moment with them. They want us to not pull out and go, oh my God, this is messy. Or, oh my God, that, you know, this is going to, you know, cause a problem later. They want us to just stay in the playfulness with them as much as we can.
Yeah. God, that's great stuff, man. I love that. That's really powerful. And I think we can riff on this for a little bit, because this is big. This is something I wrestle with too. I've noticed that I'm a go, go, go type of person. Let's say we go to a kids' museum and we're doing this activity and the kids are having a good time. And I might be like, we've got to get through the museum. We got to see all this stuff. And I'm like, guys, let's go to the next thing. And I'm trying to encourage, even though they're totally immersed, totally having a good time, I catch myself saying, guys, let's go to the next thing. And then I think to myself, why am I so obsessed with getting to the next thing? They don't care about completing the museum. They don't care about seeing every part of it. In fact, I might be doing the very thing that stops them from learning to go deep into something, to be persistent with something, to find the nuances, to master something. And I might be just getting them into this space of, you always got to have the next new shiny object. You've got to constantly be stimulated by another activity versus like finding yourself immersed in flow in that space. I wrestle with that a lot, man. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, you know, your question of how can I not just get into the moment, which I think we both do, but to stay in that moment with our kids, that's really, really key. Now, my question is, and you alluded to this a little bit, because I'm going, how do you know when it's your ego that wants to move on? Like, we're going to crush this museum and complete this thing and get an A+ on this. Or when we're listening to our heart and we're tuned in, and you kind of got into that with like, slow down, be a little mindful, tap into that inner wisdom. I want to see if we can get a little bit more into that for maybe some of the guys that are jumping onto this podcast saying, okay, tell me more about that. What does that really look like? How do I know the difference between my ego and my heart? Like that good inner wisdom where you're like, should have listened to my intuition on that one. And then you're like, nope, should have ignored my ego. You know, so I don't know if we can articulate that anymore, because it's tough.
I mean, yeah, I think the way that I've been able to discern the most is by really knowing myself, you know, really understanding like, where do I cut corners? Where do I actually not look when I know I should? Like, and it's usually in the areas where we're the strongest. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why the persuasiveness or the, like, being a go-getter, it's so easy to justify that. The world rewards us handsomely for being go-getters.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to sort of unlearn that in some ways, but I, for me, it's knowing myself well enough to know when I'm probably not fully accessing my whole truth.
Yeah.
Where I'm limited in either I don't want more information, I'm not interested in your opinion, I don't like the other plan I just heard. Like, I only have one way of seeing it.
Yeah.
So a good desertion point too is, the ego is louder and more persuasive and speaks more vocally about what it wants. Mm-hmm. Whereas spirit is this subtle nudge and understanding that is deep inside of you. Mm. And I think it's a matter of knowing, like, if it's loud and pushy and all to one side, you know, if it's polarized into one side of there's no other option, you're probably in ego more than anything else. Now, some people's egos manifest differently because some may have a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I'm talking about, I'm a go-getter. So I'm like fight versus flight.
Yeah.
And that may change for the person. But for me, I think it's knowing yourself, understanding the areas where you sometimes are full of shit, or the areas where you're so strong that you get to justify always using the strength.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just moving everyone on because I'm the leader and I know when it's the best time to move on, right? Yeah. It's easy to sort of hide behind those parts of ourselves which are so beneficial and give us so much recognition and reward in the world. It's hard to actually go, hey, but you know what? This 10% of the time, being highly persuasive, demanding, and a go-getter actually robs me of maybe, you know, hundreds of experiences. Who knows the number? You know, high percentages of possible experiences I could have had because my ego is trained to keep me in the normal shit that it's used to, too. So yeah. Another way would be if you're choosing what you always choose, you're probably choosing from ego. And by the way, how often do we do that? I was talking to this guy the other day at that GoBundance event, the men's event we just had in Austin, and we had Nick Santanastasso there, who's incredibly inspirational. And he had a couple of Navy SEAL friends that were there hanging out that train Navy SEALs. These are like really mentally strong, obviously through their training individuals. But he was just talking about free will. And he basically said, like, no human has free will. And I was like, I kind of challenged it because I often step out of my ego and my perceptions as much as I can and choose the opposite of what I would normally choose. But I realized that that's not the typical way that people live. The great majority of the population of the world, they do the same shit every single day. And they fight to keep it that way.
Yeah.
And that's, they're acting from their history, their past, and it's not good or bad, but they're just acting from really their protection. And they're moving forward in life, wanting to be comfortable and not change. And so, yeah. You know, I think for us as entrepreneurs, we're wanting to make the world better. We're wanting to seek more. And so, you know, it's really an honor, a responsibility, whatever you call it, that we also realize that there's other ways of doing things always that we are, even though we're willing to push forward the status quo, we're still operating from that same lack of free will that anybody does.
Yeah.
We're just able to justify it better because we're more persuasive, we're successful, or we're whatever, and we've reached some level, but it's not the ultimate level. I don't think anybody's reached that yet.
Hey guys, I want to take a second to tell you about our Front Row Dads Retreat. If you would value connecting with a brotherhood of like-minded and like-hearted guys who want to deepen their sense of purpose and meaning as fathers and within their families, and to talk about and share the best practices and the strategies for ultimate family success, then this event might be for you. If you would value being around high-performing guys without the big egos, guys that believe in being family men with businesses and not businessmen with families, you might enjoy our Front Row Dads Retreat. Twice a year, we're getting together in person, small groups, cool locations, guest experts, and so much more for these events. We've now done this multiple times. It has sold out every single time. And if you're excited about it, make sure to check it out at frontrowdads.com where you can apply for the next retreat. Now, hey, one of the things you might be wondering is, does leaving my family make me a better dad or husband? The answer is, for many of you, I know you travel a bunch, you do other things. And the idea for this one is you have to retreat to advance. You have to take a step back to gain the perspective so that we can go back and crush it within our families. This is the same concept that works in business, where you take a moment, you think, you plan, you strategize, you work on your family so that you can be better in your family. If that all sounds good, check it out, frontrowdads.com.
I think there's so many good questions that come of what you just said.
Like, how can I know myself better? You know, how do I know my true motivations? How do I know what this ego voice sounds like and then my inner wisdom? How are those different? I think sometimes in making the decisions, we might even benefit from asking, like, which decision here in this situation of whether or not I conquer the museum or stay with my kids, looking forward a year, 2 or 5, 10 years, which one am I going to be most proud of? Or what do my kids really need? What serves my kids the most? Or what type of kids do I want to raise? And therefore, what is the right decision to make here? Like, there's so many different questions that we might be able to ask ourselves throughout the day to get to those places. I don't know which are the right questions, but it's got me thinking about what might I ask myself in order to see the differences between my ego driving the ship and some other wisdom that perhaps might serve the situation better.
Yeah. I mean, asking ourselves, being able to step outside of what's happening and ask ourselves an honest question is definitely a way to start having a dialogue with yourself so you can actually hear the different voices that speak. And I think that's a big part of it. You know, earlier you were talking about, you know, and I can mention a few books here in a minute too that help with this stuff or have helped me with it. But, you know, you mentioned earlier about in being in Cleveland and me being a good student or being really attentive in there. And I think that one thing I see happen a lot is I see people who say, oh man, I want what you have. Like, I like your life. I like what you have going on. And when it comes time to actually do the work in class, I see many of those same people out wandering around in the hallway, on their phone, out doing whatever. And I don't fault them for that. I get it. But here's the thing is, you have a thing you say that, is it the best audiences get the best shows?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And so you could say the best students become the best teachers, right?
Yeah.
And you think about, like, my level of wanting to engage in anything that's in front of me where I can learn and grow, that's how you get to know who you are. You have to continually ask yourself all kinds of questions about, where have I come from? Where am I now? Where do I want to go? But when you start to really ask the deeper questions, like you were saying about, like, if I am faced with something, if I ask myself, like, well, what am I going to remember more, being in this moment or seeing 10 exhibits of which 8 I forget anyways, right?
Yeah.
So you ask yourself that question in that moment. It's through that inquiry that you're getting to know yourself. But we can't forget, like, how attached we get, you know, to the way that something should be. And I think, you know, that's just a surefire way for us to wake up and go, hey, I'm choosing the same thing I've always been choosing. And what if I tried to go in a different direction? And the thing is that we are so good at talking ourselves out of what we need most. I think it's probably the most common problem to people creating the success they want, is that they end up talking themselves out of it. So why do we listen to that voice instead of this more subtler one? I think we have to have enough experiences where we throw out what we think is practical, and we throw out what we think is the way it should be in the face of something, and we choose through faith and trust some other option on a hunch, on a whim, on an intuition, and then it works out. You have a few experiences like that, you start to be able to hear, like, hey, I'm going to respond to that because that idea came out of nowhere, and that's not an idea I normally get. Mm-hmm. It's different. So let me act on the one that's different that I usually push under the rug.
Yeah.
And this is deep stuff, man. This is like what makes us tick as human beings. What creates success in any moment? What allows some people to have an abundant life and some people to not have one? There's lots of other factors, you know, that we could argue that are politically and otherwise challenged. But, you know, ultimately, there's a case of people succeeding against all odds, no matter where you look. So what is the difference? I think the difference is people who are willing to listen to their connection to themselves, to nature, to a deeper wisdom, instead of thinking that I know it all.
Yeah.
Like, I already figured it out. And if we can cut that sort of relationship to thinking we know it all, like we kind of started there earlier about forgetting and realizing that, that's where we learn the most, is by knowing, is by letting go of what we know.
That's so good, man. Dude, I'm so glad that we're talking today. This show is going exactly like we scripted it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I didn't know where this was going today, but I like the direction that it headed in. You know, I've got to tell you, man, this whole conversation just, I had a memory pop into my head as you're talking that I haven't thought about in 15 years or longer. All right, I'm going to take you way back. I'm listening to Pink Floyd. I'm talking to my buddy Phil, and I'm in love with this girl at the time. Her name is Tammy. I think I'm in love with her. And I'm talking about how heartbroken I am because she's not as interested in me as I'm interested in her. And then on the CD, I don't remember which Pink Floyd album, but the line comes up, are you in love or are you in love with the idea of being in love? Or something to that effect. Are you in love or is it the idea of being in love? Right? Which is it? And it hit me that I don't really think I was in love with this girl. I thought I was at the moment, but what I was really in love with was the idea of what love meant, how it might make me look in front of others, or, you know, if this was my girlfriend, what type of respect I might get. And there was a lot of like portraying something that to me felt like it was more ego-driven than heart-centered, true love. And that got me thinking, as soon as I had that thought, I just thought about how so many times I remember early on, more so than now, but it still shows up, that I was in love with the idea of being a great dad, but not necessarily being a great dad. And I'll see if I can tie this all together, because in my brain, this makes sense, but it doesn't necessarily make sense in everybody else's brain. But what I mean by that is, how many times have I been in a situation where I wanted to get through the museum because I was in love with the idea of being a great dad who took their kids to the museum to show them everything. And like, there was almost like I had to check that box to be a great dad, you know, to show everybody all the pictures on Facebook of me in the museum with my kids doing all these things. I was posing as a great dad. And a lot of that's ego, right? Versus like actually being a great dad, which is somebody who stays in the moment, recognizes that their kids are doing deep work in something and that we should nurture that, putting our own needs of completion aside and serving, you know, really just saying, how can I stay so that my son makes that last trick, you know, to stick around long enough to see that trick through. And to me, what I'm taking away from this show, one of the biggest things is this idea of, to me, when I get obsessed with the idea of something, that's more of the ego than actually falling in love with that moment or that being a great dad or whatever it is. You could almost apply this to anything. So that's my big takeaway from today, man. And I just want to thank you for, you know, your comments sparked that for me. And I'm interested in knowing what the rest of the guys who are listening out there are going to take away from this. I hope they jump into the Facebook group and share some of the highlights from this episode. But man, that was really good.
Yeah, that's beautifully put, Johnny. I love that. And it's one of those things where, you know, the image that we are striving towards is something that's great, like being a great dad, being, you know, being successful. But I think what's interesting is to think about how that's not going to matter in the future. And it's about in every moment, just being there. That's being a successful, you know, father. Yep. And that matters more than anything else. I think it's awesome. I think being with that, I mean, that's the whole reason that we started Fambundance, you know, and you went to one of the events earlier this year that was, you know, we finally got the recipe right of bringing some families together, getting them to create some meaningful values, having them create some goals and some visions of the future. You know, I think, you know, thinking about how often we go off as entrepreneurs to do that without our families, on our businesses, or on ourselves, on our, you know, working on our business, our personal development, our learning a certain skill set as an entrepreneur, we go to different trainings. And, you know, what I realized in those kind of moments were that I was not only away from my family, but I was growing apart. Mm. So it's interesting to think about, like, how can we continue to make sure that our children are growing with us and coming along for that that journey? And I'm really, you know, I'm really excited about how we continue to unlock that. I mean, you're working on it with Front Row. your Front Row Family event, which is great. I love that you have the two dad events every year. Those are just incredible events, like the quality of guys and relationships that I still have and make every time I go from, you know, the first event till the last has been awesome. And then how we bring that all together so that we heal sort of this idea of the family. I was talking to my massage therapist today, and he was talking about his wife being from India and you know, how they're so firm in their family values. I thought about, wow, how much more respectful for elderly and for including the family and decisions and things that some of these traditions just have mastered over many, many years. And then he shared with me, like, well, on the other side of that, like, they disowned her because she married, you know, a white guy. Mm. And so you realize, like, we're in the United States where, you know, what a family is and what it looks like is still being defined, like, constantly. We don't have hundreds of years of generations. We have a melting pot of that. And so really defining what it means to be a solid family is really important, I think, in being great dads. Is, you know, you can work on being a great dad, and I think we all should do that. But how do you work with your family on being a great family?
Yeah.
You know, that's the place that for most entrepreneurs is a difficult thing to consider, because they thrive, a lot of these guys, on the training, on the growth, on that. And however, like, you can grow your business to hundreds of millions of dollars and you aren't going to spend it all in your lifetime. You know, you're probably wanting to leave it to your kids, but, you know, are they equipped? Are they equipped to carry the legacy forward? You know, your legacy is only as strong as the hands that you equip and the future generations. So how do we continue to elevate our families collectively? I think it's an important question. And that way we're not only just being a great dad and being the idea of a great dad, but we're also creating an amazing family.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's a lot of excitement around doing that work, because out of anything that I've done, you know, Keller Williams, even GoBundance, working with families is that one thing that you can see immediate impacts.
Yeah.
In the kids and the relationships. You know, some of our kids have been going to FamBundance events for 2 years now. And so you have kids that have grown together for 2 years. It's really fascinating. And seeing what they can do with those networks over many years is going to be really awesome to watch and see, you know, the business ventures they form together and the ways they collaborate in the future. So I'm excited about that. And it was great to have you guys at the last event. And the highlight of our recap video is Tatiana and John Vroman. So
that's great.
You know what I'll do is I'll post that in the Facebook group. So if you guys want to see that recap video, it's really well done. And the event was spectacular. I wanted to get into that a little bit. I know, as per usual, man, I know that this went a little longer than I promised. So if you've still got a couple of minutes, I wanted to dig into a little bit about what you're building, because I think it's really special. And before we even started recording today, I was telling you about how I'm a promoter. I'm a raving fan of what you and others have built with the GoBundance and then FamBundance, and so many things that are serving families. You're helping men in so many ways with the different pillars of the GoBundance tribe. And then beyond that, dude, you've taken on these different projects again. Like, you wrote The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families with your wife, Lindsay. I still go, I don't know where Mike's coming up with the time to do all this stuff. Like, it's amazing. It makes me feel like I'm just standing still, buddy. But what you're doing with FamBundance particularly is inspiring for me. So my big question, because I could go into any one of these. Tell us about GoBundance. How did it start? Who's there? What's the purpose of that? Tell us about FamBundance, the same things. And then, you know, we could dig into the book for hours. There's so much around all of that. So in my attempt to try to bring what is a huge part of your world with GoBundance, FamBundance, and all of this to the listeners out there, to the guys that are now more familiar with Mike McCarthy and what's up with your space. And you've alluded to this a little bit. You've gotten into this a little bit, but maybe you can go a little deeper. I want to open the door. What does the future look like? Why are you doing this? What's the big drive for you, man? Because truly, you don't need to do this. You could be sitting on a beach somewhere. You know, you could be chilling around the fire, looking at the mountains of Colorado.
Well, luckily for all the people that are fans of what we're doing, luckily for them, it only snows well for like 3 months out of the year. And you can only ski for so many hours or snowboard for so many hours before you're really tired. So,
that's right.
You know, the one thing I do that's for me is snowboarding. I get that. You know, everything else I do, man, I just want to, I want to leave a mark in the world that is positive. And, you know, I have great team members. I do a decent job of finding great people and a almost as decent a job of keeping them around. And you know, the future, the reason, you know, I do this, I think is it's the one thing, fambundance, John, is the one thing that no matter what I do, anything, any effort I put into it, I can see a tenfold return in what comes out of it. So I'm not like they investors, I look at ROI for real estate deals. Like I get it. But right now it's a matter of like, if you can put just a little bit of energy, right now it's a lot more than a little, but you just put some energy into something and you see that it multiplies. That's really exciting. And, you know, I've had to struggle a little more with GoBundance. I had to struggle a lot with Keller Williams, coming in, being my dad's son, trying to make my own name, you know, selling a ton of franchises, closing a several, not a ton, but a few more than I would like to. But, you know, in all of that, the one thing that I didn't plan to do, wasn't sure what I was doing, still don't even know what it is, but it keeps coming back as fambundance. So anytime we do an event, magic happens. Anytime that we try to get great speakers together, we get more than we need that just happen to show up in the right alignment. So there's a certain amount of wind behind the sail already with fambundance that I can see where I'm like, the world is calling for this. Like, not to mention, it might be the only original idea I've ever had on, you know, like, it, you know, and it's one of those things where I just sort of was like, I don't want to do GoBundance events for entrepreneurs and be the CEO if I can't bring my family along and they can't be a part of it.
Right.
It's one of those things where I was just like, shit, I need to do this or this ain't going to work for me. And then all of a sudden I see these families come to life. And so that's why I do it, is like everything's lining up for it. Like there's a website, you could go to the website right now, fambundance.com, and Matt Duncan built it. He's an amazing a partner for me in GoBundance in so many ways. He's great with kids, does great programming, but here's the thing. He's like, oh, you want me to throw a website together for you? This is better than our GoBundance website. like that he threw together. I got to have him redo our GoBundance one now because it's, he did such a great job. But that's just an example of like, he just shows up and everything we do, it works because the world is wanting it. Not because I'm making it happen. Not because like, you know, I'm trying to make money from it or get famous for it or get significance from it. I'm doing it because the world is calling for it. And there's no entrepreneur that doesn't hear what I'm saying and think, man, how do I grow better with my family? In fact, many entrepreneurs, they say when they come back, how do I share with my wife what happened at the event?
Yep.
Well, how about you bring them with you to the event? That's the surefire way. So here's what the future looks like, Johnny, because that's the real question you asked is, you know, we are launching a full mastermind organization. It will have its own employees, its own enrollment beyond GoBundance. We are starting it off with only GoBundance families. By about the middle of next year, we're going to open enrollment and we're going to allow friends and strategic partner communities, we're going to allow their members to join FamBundance, but it's your whole family joining. So they get in a Facebook group, they get introduced, they get access to content that's for them. They get access to group coaching calls and interactions with their peers. So it's group calls with kids of different ages, teenager up all the way up to teenagers. And then we have a whole bunch of different resources that we're compiling. But one thing that's cool is we're doing a launch pad. So anybody that has a family product that we're connected to, they can launch their book or their product and we'll beta test it in FamBundance. So we're going to get a look at a lot of great products. We have a few lined up already. But here's the coolest thing about what we're doing is that we're taking everything we already know about building community in GoBundance and how to engage them, how to have great members, how to do amazing trips, how to make them rooted in adventure and not just learning. I mean, a big difference between a GoBundance event and any other event, I mean, actually, that's not true because you do this at Front Row Dads, is we mix in activity because nobody wants to go on to an event and sit in a hotel room the whole day and be in a classroom. Like, we want to be out experiencing things. So, you know, that's a big deal to us. But those differences in bringing that into FamBundance, we're launching a full spectrum thing. We have parent coaches. We have all kinds of different people that are wanting to contribute and be interviewed for that community as well. And we're already introducing our first sort of five families to the group through introductions and things. There is a Facebook group right now, but we're not going to open the enrollment, like I said, until we get a lot of the systems built. But this will be a mastermind that hopefully it has hundreds of families that are a part of it. And a bulk of them will be GoBundance. And obviously I'm biased, but the GoBundance tribe is 150 high net worth, very successful entrepreneurs. And being in FamBundance is like another entry point into being a part of the GoBundance community too. So I think for many families, that'll be a natural fit. And we're going to have some cross-pollination through these different communities as we always do. But I would love it if FamBundance was the one thing that could help unite all of these communities and all of our families in some way, because it's so powerful when our families start to know each other. That's when real like amazing experiences and great vacations and just really cool things emerge in that place. And I've been lucky enough to see it happen for the last 2 years of doing FamBundance events. We went to a solar eclipse trip in Wyoming last year. We had an astronaut speak to us at the top of a mountain. We took a chairlift up, then we watched the eclipse from the top of this mountain. And then we went to the Grand Tetons, to Yellowstone. We whitewater rafted. We did all of this with families while masterminding in the evening and learning the whole time. So we do these, a couple of these trips a year. The next one is Northern Lights in over Thanksgiving. And if anybody's interested in learning more about FamBundance, you can sign up to get more information by filling out a short form on the website. The website's live. We haven't told anybody about it yet. Actually, this is the first time I've really told anybody about the website. So we're going to be launching that in the next couple of days.
It's so cool. I took a peek at it today. I didn't know Matt built it, but it looks really good. And again, I can talk for quite a while about why I thought the event was just fantastic. But I will tell guys that we'll post that video so that you can see it. And I think you'll be able to get a much better sense than me talking about it now in great detail. But I will say this, I want to give one little thing because I think you did a really nice job of summing it up, is that on my wall, in my hallway, is a picture or several pictures actually that came from your event. And it was such a classy thing where you had our families really talk about our values, what makes us unique, what makes our family special, what makes us the Vromans for us personally, right? And we had these pictures and Tiger, myself, Tatiana, not so much Ocean at 3, but he did a lot of smiling. I want to make an inside joke right there about fireballs, but you and I would be the only ones that would get that. But I will tell you that picture, that framed photograph hangs on our wall in our hallway. And I think about FamBundance often. I think about what that did for us, the conversations that it allowed us to have that I'm pretty sure would not have happened if we weren't at that event. And then because you changed the conversation, you changed our family's life. And you already know I'm a raving fan. Everybody knew that within the first 60 seconds of me raving about you today. But I love what you're building. I want to tell everybody to check out GoBundance, FamBundance. I've been to those events. I intend to be at those events. I love you and your community, your family. I'm in for life. I'm Team Mike McCarthy for life. And I'm just grateful for what you've done. We didn't talk about everything today, nor could we. But dude, I'm so happy about where this conversation went. You know, I always come on to the show thinking I'm going to cover 10 things. But I'm glad that what we did is we actually did what we talked about doing. It was really cool is that the whole, like a big chunk of the show today was not just to get in the moment, but stay in the moment. And I was like, let me move real quickly out of this conversation to get the miracle morning for parents and families. And I'm like, no, stay in the moment, right? Like this is the juice right now. This is the conversation. This is where it went. But we didn't even talk about the book really. But all right, guys, go buy the book. Miracle Morning.
You can read the book. We don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. You just go get it and read it. But there's a lot that we can talk about that you've created and built with your family and with the rest of the GoBundance tribe and whatnot. But I love you. Love what you're about. Really grateful for you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on. And I love what you're doing with the Front Row Dads. I see you as a partner to FamBundance. Absolutely. As our sort of fatherly expert, if you will. I know you probably don't like that being the expert.
Great. I'm printing business cards. As
there you go. Here you go. You're the father expert. The father whisperer.
But that's right.
You know, I think though, you know, what I love about you, JV, is that, you know, you hold a certain type of energy. And I think you and I are similar in this regard. And I think it's a new way of being in leadership. I think, you know, the old school is domination, control, and, you know, more command and control out for yourself is kind of how an old school kind of entrepreneur leadership mentality. And I think a lot of the world is still coming around to the view that like, that's a dying breed of person. And the people that are really building this world and who are even active in their businesses, especially smaller businesses, you know, this is a different way of leading, man. And you represent to so many fathers, you know, a great role model because you are working on being a better husband always. You know, you are aware of yourself and that you're not perfect as a father, but you're dedicated to getting it right and being better. And you know what? You're also a bit of a softy, you know, just like me is that we love on people. You know, we want to contribute. And I think that, you know, it's a good place to be where we're getting more and more people like us that are in our community. You know, we didn't even know you a few years ago. And now, you know, you and Johnny B and Brother James and how like, you know, you're some of my best friends and the people simultaneously who've helped me become a better person over the last several years, man. So like, I can't thank you enough. Like, your mark is in everything that I do just because I know you and because I've learned from you. So thank you for what you're doing. You know, you said a few years ago, you're going all in on the dads thing and, you know, it inspired me, man. And I'm going all in on the family thing and, you know, we'll do this together, buddy, but we're going to change a lot of lives and, you know, a lot of families will be better off because of us. And who knows, maybe because entrepreneurs and influencers are more focused on their own family, you know, who knows, that could be the microcosm that leads to the macro movement of us having more change in the world. You know, it starts in our family. So thanks for doing what you do too, buddy. Love you.
That is where we come together in that same thought of just, I do believe that the work that we're doing is some of the most important work that could be done in the world. I do believe that with all my heart. I know that, you know, at least for me, that's not to put down the work that anybody else is doing. If you're out there doing any type of work to make the world a better place, I honor you. And I hope that you feel like yours is the critical piece because that's good that we all feel that way, right? That our piece is a critical piece in the puzzle. So it'll be fun to see where this all goes, man, because I do believe one of the things I've always felt confident about with Front Row Dads, and I bet you feel this way about FamBundance, is you put quality people in a space for 3 days, let them go do some fun stuff, create some conversation over some good food. Magic's going to happen on some level. Something's going to happen there that people are going to walk away better versions of themselves. Not because I said the most brilliant opening comments or closing comments, but largely because you put committed people in a room with the right topic of discussion. And if you can facilitate and frame that to some degree, you know, to create space and an opportunity for those conversations to happen, dude, good things are happening and will continue to happen. And that's where I am very, very hopeful for what we've got going on. It's going to be really cool. I know we'll have some great adventures along the way. It's going to be fun. Hey, thanks for going over time here with me today. I know we went long on the show, but dude, I'm so grateful for this conversation. And when am I going to see you next? September?
I don't even know. I don't know. It's going to be a little while, I think.
I'm going to shorten that up a little bit if I can.
Yeah. Are you going to MMT?
No, not this time. Okay. No, no. But it's going to be epic, dude. That's going to be a great event. I know Johnny B is doing a lot of good work there. So,
yeah. Nice. Well, if you start to miss me between now and then, you can just listen to this podcast.
All right, man. Hey, dude. I love you, buddy. Thanks for being with us.
Great. Bye.
Hey, guys. If you haven't already done so, go right now to frontrowdads.com/Facebook and join the conversation that's happening right now online. We designed this group for guys who are entrepreneurial in their thinking. They're high performing guys with low egos. We're looking for the dads that believe in teaching their kids how to think, solve problems, and be real leaders. We're looking for guys who believe in being family men with businesses, not businessmen with families. We're looking for the fathers who have great knowledge, but also believe that they have so much more to learn. And we're looking for men who want to add value by sharing their wisdom and those that are willing to ask the questions that we all need and want answers to. That's frontrowdads.com/Facebook, or simply go to Facebook, type in Front Row Dads, and you'll get to our group. And what we put in there, links to all the podcasts and videos and other resources that you can't get access to anywhere else except for in this group. We want to give you the best ideas to help you with your marriage, balancing work and family life, communication strategies with your spouse and also your children, travel ideas, and even suggestions on the latest gear that would save you time and help you be more effective. We've got updates on upcoming events and so much more. Go right now to frontrowdads.com/Facebook and join the conversation. I'll look forward to connecting with you there.